Hello, and welcome to the Geeks of Doom Roundup. This is where we talk a little about movies and music, what's happening here at geeksofdoom.com, and what's coming up on the podcast Social Blend and The Drill Down. My name is Greg Davies, also known as CDT2099. Dillig after you all, and dillig after my co-host, Andy Strassini. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing great. How about you? How about yourself?
Doing very good. And, of course, Mr. Andy is also known as Mr. Baby Man around the web. You would have seen him in different places across social news and social media platforms across the web. And, boy, do we have a show for you today. We've got quite a lot of stuff to go through, so I'm not going to blather about stuff. I'm going to let you kick straight into your movie selection, Andy, which is a new movie that I hadn't heard of, and I'm quite intrigued by it. So tell us about it.
Yeah, this movie's called The Gray, and it is a movie featuring Liam Neeson, and it's directed by Joe Carnahan, who had previously directed A-Team and the Smoke and Aces series of movies. Although don't necessarily let that discourage you if you weren't a big fan of the A-Team. And he also Narc, which was a pretty good movie. But this is a basically the summary of this movie is that Liam Neeson stars as a part of the security of a oil drilling team in Alaska. And they're headed home, and their plane crashes in the wild, and they essentially are kind of picked off one by one, like hunted by a pack of wolves, by a wild pack of wolves. And I just love this whole action movie kick that Liam Neeson has been on recently.
Mm.
You know, because Liam Neeson previously to this, I mean, he was... Oscar Schindler, who's not necessarily an action hero, but I wouldn't. And then he, you know, after that, he went on to do like Taken and Unknown, and now this movie. And of course, he was Ra's al Ghul in Batman Begins.
And Hannibal in the A-Team as well.
Yes, so it's cool to see him like become this. This action hero in the sunset years of his career.
I think it's a nice way for him to kind of diversify his repertoire, if you will. Because if you remember, like back in his early days, he was in some films he was in Krull, I should say. Remember Krull?
Oh wow! You're going way back.
Yeah, that was like one of his first major movie roles.
I remember him in Excalibur as.
Yeah, and what's the name of the movie? Sam Raimi, Darkman.
Darkman. Right.
Darkman was another one. So he kind of started in that action area, and he's showing off more of his other side here, and you know, it just goes to show. I mean, I'm in love with the guy as an actor. I think he's absolutely superb. So
I think Taken made him a real bankable action star.
Oh yeah.
But without any further ado, let's play the trailer for The Gray, and this is a movie that I'm really looking forward to. So let's take a listen to it.
A job at the end of the world. I work security, protecting men from the dangers they cannot see. There's not a second goes by when I'm not thinking of you in some way.
Come on home, guys. Let's keep it moving.
Find food. If we don't move and work now, we'll all freeze to death.
Somebody will find us.
They gotta know that plane went off the radar.
Nobody's gonna find us. Not here. We figure out what way is south and we start walking.
This will be one of those wild stories you tell at a party.
Lisa, get up, get up.
Don't move. Stare right back at him. If we can get into that tree line, we can better defend ourselves.
Here they go!
Go! Go!
Hold on!
You gotta be kidding me.
We can climb down it.
If we follow the river, we got a better chance of finding shelter. How are we gonna deal with this?
We take them on, one at a time. I want to see your face. Feel your hands in mine.
Don't stop!
Looks really good.
That's pretty badass right there.
Yeah. January is typically like a dumping ground month for movies, but this one looks like really kind of the shining star in the month. And it comes out January 27th, which by the time you hear this may be very close to the time that you actually hear this. So, go out and see it if you get a chance.
It's like this Friday, I think.
This coming Friday,
yeah,
yes.
So it should be worthwhile. There's a few movies out at the moment that I wouldn't mind seeing, but there's always just that factor of time, trying to find time to go and see a good film. So
might have to sneak out for this one for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good.
What about yourself? What do you have for us in the music department?
Well, Andy, I'm a metalhead. I am the rock and roll fan. I am the metal fan, but mm-hmm. I am a music geek at heart, which means I'll listen to anything. I gravitate towards the harder metal kind of stuff.
Oh, sure.
But I'll listen to anything, and I'm so, I get right into the music that if I want to get into, let's say for example, get into some jazz, for example, and I want to discover, okay, who's this Miles Davis person, for example.
Oh, yeah.
I will immerse myself in that for weeks at a time and try and like find out, where these musicians and singers were coming from when they mm-hmm. did the music they did. And every one of those classic artists always have a signature tune. And this lady we're about to talk about is by no exception. And she is one of the artists that's close to the top of my list of artists I really need to check out and learn more about. And unfortunately, she passed away just before I had a chance to do that. It was 2 days ago. Etta James passed away at age 73. And she is known for a song called At Last.
Mm-hmm.
It's, that became her song. It was... her signature tune, if you will. But you know something, Eddie? It wasn't actually originally her song.
Oh, I did not know that.
It was basically the first time it was recorded was by Glenn Miller in the 1940s.
Oh.
And so, it was kind of like floating around for, a good couple of decades until Etta James picked it up and made it her own in the same way that the younger generation would comprehend Johnny Cash making Nine Inch Nails Hurt, his uh-huh. own song. So this is like the 1960s version of that particular phenomena, if you will, where an artist takes a song that's been around for a while and really and truly not just covers it, but they make it a part of their own musical identity. It becomes part of them. And there have been countless versions of this song, Andy, since Glenn Miller first did it in the 40s. And, that includes people like Stevie Wonder, Miles Davis, who we mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
Celine Dion, Stevie Nicks, B.B. King, Beyonce, Aretha Franklin, and I dare say that not one single individual member of that list of artists that I just mentioned have been able to touch the brilliance that Etta James did with this song.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those people I mentioned are classy, talented folks,
Oh, yeah.
They have their own thing going or had their own thing going. and they're known for other things as well. But Etta James is forever known for this particular song. The title of the song sounds a little bit morbid considering she passed away recently. It's not about that at all. It's, if you listen to the lyrics, it's really hard to pin down a specific genre or style. As a matter of fact, when I was reading up on Etta James earlier, she's been often labeled as the singer who bridged the gap between rhythm and blues and rock and roll. And I think that's a fairly accurate assessment of, her contribution to music over the years. So here we go, remembering the wonderful artist Etta James with her song At Last.
Doesn't get any better than that.
The song is, it's timeless.
Yeah.
It's been used at countless weddings. It's been used at countless proms. It's been used by countless bachelors who are playing the game to try and get some. It is timeless. And it doesn't matter whether you knew who Etta James was, but as soon as you hear that song, you automatically recognize it. It is internationally recognizable.
Did you know that she never knew who her father was and always suspected that her father was Minnesota Fats, the world-famous pool player?
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Thanks to Wikipedia for that little factoid. But, yeah, that's true. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of sad the news of her passing. She's been dealing with a lot of a lot of different things over the last couple of years, starting with different bacteria and dealing with diseases and Alzheimer's and kinds of problems. And last year she was diagnosed with leukemia and passed away from that just last week. So we remember Etta James with a tribute to her on this episode with her signature tune At Last, which earned her her performance of that song ended up her being inducted in the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1999. So, and rightfully so. So there you go, folks. Check it out. Some classics for you this week on the Geeks of Doom Roundup. Now, speaking of Geeks of Doom,
yes,
as we usually do, we jump in and talk a couple of stories that are of interest. And Andy snagged the one that I was looking at, which I'm fine
gotta
with.
Get up early.
I wanted to talk about it anyway. Mm-hmm. And the reason for which that we actually discussed on Social Blend this news that was popping up about this stuff just in the last week before everything kind of coalesced and turned into the story at Geeks of Doom that you're about to talk about. So tell us about what it is we're looking at, Mike.
Well, there's a story on Geeks of Doom. It was written by the Movie God over there at Geeks of Doom. And he talks about a viral video that's hitting the web. It's actually a series of videos, but in particular, it's one video that's a compilation of all of these different videos that come from different sources. People really don't know where they come from, but essentially the bottom line is that people are going outside and allegedly hearing strange noises in their environment, noises that have no particular source or explanation. And they're noises that sound like deep thumping, or they have various origins. Movie God says sometimes the sound has a very mechanical feel to it, and sometimes it sounds like someone dubbed the mating calls of a blue whale over shots of various parts of the world. And his theory is that if this isn't real, then it could be a viral marketing campaign for either a new Godzilla movie, which is in the works, or Cloverfield 2, which is also been rumored to be in production or be in the works as well. So but let me play a little snippet of this video.
Please, I love this. So yeah. The first one is the best.
Okay, here we go. Strange sounds heard around the world: Russia, Europe, Central America, USA, Canada. And here we go. Let's see. Chicago. This is Chicago, second week of January. And this is someone just pointing their video camera outside and letting the video camera capture the sound. I mean, what would you guess that would be if you didn't know?
It sounds like the sound that describes the thing that lands on Earth in the original novel of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. It sounds like that opening, because the way it's described, it's described as a deep metallic unscrewing sound. And that reminds me very much of that. It reminds me of that grinding metallic circular sound that you could imagine with that opening, so to speak. And the interesting the thing about this is that Reddit are on the case as well, Andy.
Thank goodness for crowdsourcing community.
This is actually what got my attention last week. We used it for our segment on Social Blend called The Countdown to the Gutsfuck of Humanity, which you remember is all the articles that we're picking up that some people will point to and say, oh, it's the end of the world, but of course it's not.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the things we picked for this. And Reddit, I am crediting the Redditors mm-hmm. with being the first people to suggest the possibility that all of these different videos are for viral marketing. Mm. They have exposed it, or at least one or a few of these videos, as a hoax. I'll point out to you the comment that I looked at. This guy made a comment, and he says his name is Groovy Trouser Emperor. One of those Redditors have the best usernames. So I looked at these videos from an audio guy standpoint, and most of them seem pretty fishy. I downloaded the videos, extracted the sound, and analyzed it using a super secret Pro Tools kit called Audacity. And the one that he looks at for Dawson Creek, he actually sped up the audio, and it turns out it's a collection of animal noises as you would hear in a safari. And then partway through the audio, there is a crash cymbal inserted at the 42-second mark. So clearly, these are sounds that have been engineered that could plausibly have been engineered by sound engineers and sound editors for an upcoming film. And it could well be the modern version of Godzilla that's coming out. It could well be Cloverfield 2, as has been speculated. But I don't think a year goes by where we don't see some kind of alien invasion style movie or monster style movie, even if it's released directly to DVD, where such films could benefit from some viral marketing. So that is the speculation that the Redditors have in hand at the moment. And so I think the movie god is on the money when he makes the suggestion that it could well be contributing towards Godzilla or Cloverfield 2 or something else.
I have heard phenomenon about, I've heard of phenomenon like this in the past. And before Cloverfield, the first Cloverfield, and even before, years ago, the phenomenon like this has been happening for a long time. And some of the explanations I've heard before deal with atmospheric changes in ground shifts that legitimately do cause sounds similar to this to happen on an occasional basis. And it's basically, related to like tectonic shifts. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to give a rational explanation.
Well, I don't know, because now I'm looking at some of the updates made to this post, and the guy that originally submitted the question to Ask Reddit is now saying that news media is now reporting of incidences of this happening in Costa Rica. Borneo is another place where they've got an online article on there. So, and there have been a few people that have commented who've said they've heard the noises themselves. So, and I am familiar with the phenomena that's being mentioned here, because I follow this kind of stuff from a balanced perspective, with a slightly bit of a lean towards the skeptic side of things, but I've never seen it as amplified and accelerated as it has been in the last few weeks, and I'm thinking that it all could be related to something, and my the logical side of my brain is telling me that it's a viral marketing scheme for a movie that is possibly based upon this phenomena, this known phenomena of strange noises being heard around the world. But then again, my hopeful side of my brain is that it's an alien invasion and the mothership is coming to take me away on December
21. I don't want it. I used to think that wouldn't it be cool to meet aliens? Until I read some of those articles by Stephen Hawking, where he essentially said, you don't really want to meet aliens because they're going to be more advanced than you, and they're going to regard you essentially as lab animals. We want to stay the hell away from any advanced alien technology that might be interested in us, because it's going to end up bad for human beings.
That is one rationale. That is one rationale. And it's one of the few that I think are close to being accurate, if there is indeed intelligent life out there that could potentially have interest in the human species.
So tell me about your stories from Geeks of Doom.
I got a couple for you, Andy. Yeah. I'm not going to dwell too much on these because, well, the first one I'm going to talk about, people are talking it to death, but I just want to highlight it because it came up in a discussion that we had via email this week, and that is that George Lucas has been making some noise around the place in some of the press for Red Tails. That he is going to be stepping down and retiring from being a filmmaker to focus on indie films. He hasn't really expanded on, you know, exactly what that means, whether he's still going to be filmmaking, but from an indie perspective, or whether he's just going to delegate himself to just being a scriptwriter for such movies, or, you know, or maybe even head up his own little mini studio to focus on independent films. He hasn't really elaborated too much.
I don't think he should be writing scripts at all. I've seen what he does.
I don't think his writing is wrong. I think people have issue with his production and his direction.
I think he's great at crafting a story, like laying a plot down. But as far as, I think he's, as far as actually writing the dialogue and or directing, I have a theory, and I actually proposed this to you privately in a little email chain that we had going earlier this week about George Lucas. So we talked about this earlier, but I'm trying to remember. Oh, here we go. Let me pull it up. Okay, here we go. My take on George Lucas is that he was a budding, growing filmmaker who struck it lucky with Star Wars, and unfortunately his growth as a filmmaker stunted at that point. Because of his success, he never got the chance to fail and learn from those failures. And by an example, I mentioned that before he directed THX 1138 and American Graffiti, he had directed a total of 5 narrative shorts. By comparison, Steven Spielberg, one of his contemporaries, before Steven Spielberg directed his first feature, The Sugarland Express, he'd already directed 6 independent projects and nearly 12 TV episodes. He's cut his teeth, by doing things that he could actually fail. If he failed, it wouldn't be the end of his career. But George Lucas, he hasn't grown as a filmmaker since Star Wars. And I think that's what I would love to see him grow, continue to grow as a filmmaker. Like, I would love to see him make these little independent movies. Like he talked about in that New York Times interview that you're referring to, that he wanted to devote the rest of his life to personal, small in scope, esoteric art house films. And I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Lucas fail a couple of times, but learn from those failures.
Yeah, because he kind of did fail a bit in the 80s, but didn't learn from, Tucker and Howard the Duck.
Right, right. No? on the production, those are shows, movies that he produced. But I'd love to see him direct small movies and learn from those movies.
What prompted this whole discussion in the email thing was, there was another interview somewhere on the web where he had basically, and I'm not quoting verbatim here, I'm paraphrasing, that, why would I want to make any more Star Wars films? Because, everyone bad mouths what I do, yes, or what changes I make, and yada, yada, yada. And, someone had said to me, well, he's retiring. And my argument was, well, let's have a look at the money here.
Yeah.
This is how much money he's made worldwide from the 6 Star Wars movies alone. So, which I believe was in the trillions when I compiled it all together. It certainly exceeded the billions. And that's just on the film gross alone, not accounting for, inflation or whatnot. And, there's obviously merchandising and other things associated with Star Wars that, is making just as much, if not more, money for Lucasfilm. So I don't. It's a cash cow for Lucasfilm as a company, and just because he's stepping back from wanting to do blockbuster films doesn't necessarily mean that at one point in time he's not going to turn to Spielberg or another director and say, okay, go ahead with, you know, the Star Wars sequel trilogy.
Yeah. No, I'm
and
sure.
And his daughter, Katie Lucas, is actually a budding scriptwriter for the Clone Wars series as well. She's written a couple of episodes for that.
I thought she was a prize fighter.
That's his other daughter. Marsha? Is it Marsha? I'm not sure. No, that's his wife's name, isn't it?
Yeah, Marsha was his ex-wife, yeah.
So, you know, one of the girls is developing as a scriptwriter, and she has written a couple of episodes of the Clone Wars series. So, you know, it's feasible to think that he might be wanting to groom his children to try and keep it in the family, so to speak. But I don't think Lucasfilm as a company is ever going to say goodbye to Star Wars. We've already got news about the Clone Wars continuing. We've already got news about Star Wars Underworld is coming as a live-action television show. And, you know, the expanded universe is ever ongoing with video games, books, comics, and et cetera. And feasibly, you know, the franchise can live on that stuff alone. But I can't see them letting it go from the film perspective. It's going to come up.
Yeah.
And it will come up. And people think I'm crazy for mentioning it. But, you know, money talks and bullshit walks. So, and the other story I wanted to mention, as of recording, it's not up at Geeks of Doom yet, but by the time you hear this podcast, it will be. And that is a video that I came across today, Andy, that I can't help but scream about because I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I'm a big KISS fan. And
who is it?
I stumbled across this video. Now, my favorite member of KISS has always been Eric Carr, the drummer, who passed away in 1991. he always kind of, when he was in the band, he kind of played second fiddle to Gene and Paul, the main guys in the band. And it kind of mirrored that self on the day of his death because he died on the same day as Freddie Mercury. So Freddie got all the press and Eric was kind of forgotten about. But
damn you, Freddie.
Yeah. So the following album that came out after his passing, excuse me, they included as a coda for the album a recording of a drum solo that Eric had done in 1981 and put that on there, you know, in memory of him. Well, there is this kid, and his name is Avery Molek, and he is a drummer. He also happens to be 5 years old. And his dad and he have little KISS jam sessions, and he has recorded this drum solo, which is just absolutely impressive. You know, I mean, he makes some little mistakes here and there, and that's fine, because when I was 5 years old, I was walking around picking my nose. This kid, it just blows me away, dude. He's just brilliant. So check that out. It'll be going up at some stage tonight on as in when we're recording, but it'll be out on geeksofdoom.com. Cool. And we'll have the link to it in the show notes so that you guys can check that out. The drill down, Andy, what's coming up for the drill down and what have you guys been up to?
Well, the last episode we had talked last week about all the stuff that was coming up, which was all the SOPA PIPA stuff, and since then both SOPA and PIPA, which are the measures in Congress that essentially were going to allow governments and big corporations to be able to shut down entire domains without any sort of due process, those have been tabled for a while. While they haven't been they're not completely gone, they've been taken off the table to be reworked. Supposedly, but so much has happened since then.
Oh yeah, was it literally the day after the protest? I'm sure you're going to be talking about.
Yes, the day after that happened, the Department of Justice shut down one of the largest file sharing sites, Mega Upload, and took its notorious and flashy leader, Kim.com, away, and. And a chilling effect has occurred across the file sharing community, and two or three other sites have decided to either close their doors to the U.S. or stop their file sharing services altogether in the wake of Mega Upload's seizure by the Department of Justice. So,
I really take issue with this, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of non-authorized recordings, or not necessarily non-authorized, but non-official releases of artists, meaning recordings of their concerts or unreleased demos, stuff that they haven't put out for commercial gain.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been a collector. They used to be called bootlegs back in the day. And there's a movement afoot online of audiophiles and music fans that trade and share these concerts. And they're not videos; they're audio recordings, and they're not mint quality recordings for the most part. Mm-hmm. Some of them are recorded by the audience members, or it's really a very hardcore fan thing to do, and so that has shut off a lot of people's abilities to access that stuff. So that really does annoy me, but I digress.
Yes. We're also going to be covering Apple's new ebook textbook publishing platform and some of the legal ramifications regarding that. And there was an interesting article in Y Combinator in response to the whole SOPA PIPA thing. As a request for a startup to kill Hollywood, so we'll be discussing that as well. What about you guys over at geeksofdoom.com? What are you guys going to be? I'm sorry, I did it again. Over at Social Blend.
Are you trying to get Social Blend hosted at Geeks of Doom or something?
Is it Social-Blend?
Yeah, it's Social-Blend.com. So what is where we're at. So
what are you guys at Social-Blend.com up to this week?
Well, on the last week's edition of the show, as mentioned before, we had end comment on the show, Lee Garnett. And of course, we did focus on the SOPA stuff. And we also talked about War Part 3, his comic. And we also had Amy Vernon on the show, who was editor of the comic as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also talked about the West Memphis 3 with the release of some documentaries related to that. It was a pretty big episode. We had a lot of fun doing it with Lee and Amy, and we highly encourage people to check it out. But coming up this week, we have a special guest coming up on the show this week, Andy, as well. His name is Rick Kelvington, and Rick Kelvington is known among the Geeks of Doom readers as the gentleman who put together or has put together quite a few mashup videos joining the Doctor Who universes with the Star Wars universe, and basically putting like the last mashup he did was Doctor Who and Star Wars Episode 1, which was just phenomenally done. It was quite brilliant. Mm. There's some wonderful Tom Baker and David Tennant moments in there within the context of the Star Wars universe, and it's really, really lots of fun. And so he's going to be on the show talking with us about what kind of work goes into those kinds of videos and stuff like that. And he'll presumably be hanging out with us for the whole show, because we will be following up on the weird noises being heard worldwide that we mentioned earlier in the show, and we also talked about on the previous episode. A couple of other stories that grabbed my attention that we will be talking about on Social Blend this week, because they're very interesting, is this phenomenal video that surfaced just today, Andy, of an Irish journalist who completely humiliated a Eurobank technocrat during a press conference by simply asking questions and getting angry at the guy he was interviewing because he was ducking the hard questions. And it's absolutely stunning to watch, and we'll definitely be talking about that in the show. Came across an interesting film speculation thread that I wanted to share in the podcast as well, where someone has a new theory about the movie Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And their claim is that the mysterious briefcase in the movie, it doesn't matter what's in the briefcase, but his claim is that it is a symbol, and the symbol is rock and roll.
Hmm.
And we'll be elaborating on that in the episode too. It's a really interesting theory. And, of course, we'll be looking at Mega Upload as well, among other things coming up this week on social-blend.com. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes. And we've also got a subreddit, r/socialblend, and Facebook as well is where you can catch us. And we record Wednesday nights, and we usually go live on Thursdays. And what about the drill down, mate? Where can we catch you when you guys going to be hitting the web?
We record live over Ustream on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific. And we release the MP3 of that on Friday mornings, just in time for you to download it on your MP3 player. And all you got to do is go to thedrilldown.com or go to iTunes and search for The Drill Down, and you'll find it there and add it to your RSS feed and get it every week automatically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that pretty much wraps up our show, doesn't it?
Oh, we're done.
All right.
We're absolutely done. And we will catch you guys next week for another edition of the Geeks of Doom Roundup right here at geeksofdoom.com.
Till the gap. Yeah.